We're leaving Luke to do a brief overview of the sweet savor offerings, especially the burnt offering. Now in Second Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always maketh us, or causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, the singular way that we are a sweet savor in Christ is if we are dead. There's no possibility that if you are alive, you can be a sweet savor, because you're blemished. So, the idea of, if Christ hadn't been accepted as the burnt offering, as the burnt offering, as the peace offering, as the meal offering, if his life hadn't been accepted as the sweet savor offerings, he could not have been the trespass offering or the sin offering. So in truth, his acceptance as the sin offering, as the burnt offering, was from God's eyes, that was the first thing that was offered. Because he could not have been the sin offering if there was the slightest blemish, if there had ever been a thought of his that was about himself that wasn't confessed as sin. He was always, as the meal offering, he always met the needs of others. So he completed the second of the tables of the Ten Commandments. In his walk as unto God, he completed the first tablet. And in doing so, he completed the entire law. So that is the only reason by his one offering you can be accepted and be made perfect. But you got to understand this. None of the sweet savor offerings are the sin offering or the trespass offering has any efficacy if you still are alive. Does that communicate? Because it's mixed then with what? It's mixed with a blemish. It can't happen. So the first predicate, this is what I've said so often, especially since we studied the offerings, that the predicate of Christianity is your death on the cross, of mortifying, of seeing your death. Now, the altar, the burnt altar, is the table of the Lord, which is talks about in Malachi. The burnt offering was done every morning, every evening. It was done on the Sabbaths and the new moons and all of the festival days. There was added burnt offerings. There was added meal offerings. There was added peace offerings. But the whole mystery of all of the offerings, except the peace offering, which didn't require a death because it was as unto man, is the predicate of seeing it is your acceptance of your death. So you can't be in the picture and have the offerings have any efficacy for you. This is why the whole of, and all of this, your sustenance, your satisfaction, your acceptance, your joy, your understanding, all depends on how much these offerings have apprehended you. Otherwise, you're just like, you know, you're still back in the world, hiding under the blood. Your sins are forgiven. And so that's why the offerings and their apprehension are so critical. What, Gary?
Kind of stuck on 14, thanks be to God, which causes us to triumph. I assume that's all that we're talking about here.
Well, we're talking about the sweet savor. The predicate of it is the sweet savor unto God. We can talk about triumph. It's the same thing. We couldn't triumph unless we were this. We could be the sweet savor offering. All right. Now, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And we talked about this a little bit last night with the burnt offering. When it's the ox that's offered, the skin goes to the officiating priest, but the head is the emblem of all of our thoughts. The legs are the emblem of our walk. The inwards are the emblem or symbol of the feelings and affections of the heart. The fat is the general health and vigor of the whole. And then the kidneys and all of these things are also the kidneys and the reins and the colon, the esophagus. I mean, the whole inside was also investigated by the officiating priest when he cut up the offering before it was burned, and it was totally perfect from God's standpoint. And in order for that to have happened, you got to hear this. He could not have ever had one thought regarding before his baptism. I mean, after his baptism. He could not have had one thought that wasn't confessed as sin for or about himself. It was always others. It was always really the real mystery was it was always God. It was always God. It was always God, never him. And there was never rationalizing, well, I'm doing this to keep me so I can do a better job for God. No. And stop and think of what that meant. There was never a thought, except the two that we've talked about, then they were confessed, that had anything to do with himself. Now, contrast that with you, or me, or any of us. Especially if we continue to think that our thoughts are sanctified some way, that just makes it crazy. Had there been one thought, one affection, one step, which was not perfectly given to God, he could not have been the whole burnt offering. Jesus gave up all. He reserved nothing. And all was consumed on the altar and was the sweet savor. And it was the food of God. That's what Malachi says. Is the altar is the table of God. Now, as we've talked in other offerings, his first recorded words were, I must be about my Father's business. His last recorded words as being before the crucifixion, I mean before his death on the cross, was it is finished. And that never varied. It was always about the Father. I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. He did a few. He healed a few. He fed a few. He raised a few from the dead only because he couldn't have been tested in something that he didn't know that he had the power to do. He couldn't have given it up. You're never tested about something you don't possess. You're only tested about the things which are your so-called talents. So, this is in total contrast to the rest of the human race. The rest of the human race, ever and always, as they will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. They will speak well of you when you do well unto yourself. That's from Psalm 49:18.
Yeah, that's like what we just read about First, Second Corinthians, or whatever that was, where you're a sweet savor of death unto death. If you're not speaking about the things the world wants you to hear,
right.
It's Christ to the.
It's the same.
Those who are perishing is like death warmed over.
As he is in this world, so are we. We can't be anything but him. Now, with the offerings, the varieties of the offerings, they offered a bullock, a lamb, a dove. The lamb always had to be a female. The dove, the goat. And then there were pigeon and a turtle dove. All of those were possible varieties of the offerings. But the offering of the bullock was the key. And every other offering led to less and less and less and less apprehension of its meaning, so to the point where even in the lower classes of the offering, they, even though they were a burnt offering, the people got it confused with a sin and trespass offering because they hadn't been apprehended. And so if the only thing you're concerned with is forgiveness of sin, if that's the only preaching you hear, then that's all you're going to be concerned about. That's your forgiveness of sin, your forgiveness of sin, your forgiveness of sin. And that's great. But that's the first step. That's the beginning. That's called salvation. It's the beginning of sanctification. Amen?
Yeah, I was thinking that the fact that even the poor people who brought like a turtle dove or something, representing those who don't understand hardly anything, it's good that they're covered.
Amen.
You know, it's like that's the amazing part too. It's like no matter what Christ is still the burnt offering, even if you don't know anything about the burnt offering.
Amen.
But you know, the opportunity to experience that is what's laid out there.
Well, the thing, it's what Gary studied, talked about last night. The in order for us to truly understand this, number one, we have to understand we're the temple. And that temple is only the holy place and the holy of holies. And we are the temple of the living God. And in that temple is first the holy place with the candelabra and the tables of showbread and the altar of incense. And all that represents certain things which we'll study in a minute. But to get into the veil, to get on the mercy seat, then the only way that can be done is to be apprehended by the fullness of the offering. And that's what we want. You want to know that you can. You no longer eat the same food that the world eats. You no longer drink the same drink. You no longer fear the same fears. You no longer esteem the same things. It's a totally different life. And when it returns to the world, there's got to be instant, or turns to self in any reason, it's got to be it's got to be repented of. Now, with a bullock, the type is, we're just talking about the types here, it's strong, it's patient, untiring labor and service. With a lamb, it's passive submission, easily led, without murmuring. With the goat, it's even in the it's rebellion and self-sufficiency. In the lower grades, that's what's, and that's even confused with a sin offering. With a turtle dove, it's simple, mourning, weakness, innocence. And the inwards are always washed completely after they were inspected, before they were given to God. Now, the burnt offering was totally consumed on the altar. It was slain just before the altar. The blood, the disposition of the blood was on different sides of the altar. Everything was consumed on the altar, save the skin, after it had been fully inspected. I mean, these guys had to be in genetic engineering back then in order to have these perfect animals for the sacrifices. Now, with the sin offering and the trespass offering, it was killed outside the camp. And it was burned outside the camp. And it was, the priest had a little bit of it for food, but it certainly wasn't any food for the offerer, as the meal and peace offering are. But it was burned and killed outside the camp. It can't, that's why the whole mystery of God means that you can't get in. He isn't the way, and technically, until you're in the door, until the sin offering and the trespass offering have been apprehended. Because you're still out in the world. You're still out there trying to survive in the world.
I'm thinking about the apprehension. Actually, I would be apprehended by that which I apprehend. It says you are a seeker, you're looking, you're called, you're hungry, you're something. Outside the door.
Right, you're poor.
And yes.
That's the only time you can hear is when you're poor.
And that's when, then at that door, you become apprehended. You apprehend what you've been looking for. And that.
Right, but before you can enter the door, the sin and the trespass offering has to be made. The sin offering for who you are, requiring your death. And the trespass offering for when you screw up, which you're going to do.
Yeah, that was made. So that's what we're trying to apprehend, what has already been made.
Well, all of it has been made already, all the way to the mercy seat.
Right.
Okay, I don't understand your... Well,
you're at the door. So how do you get through the door?
Well, the door, if any man knock, that's what the door is about. Go to Revelation 3.
The knocking is trying to apprehend.
Right, let's go to Revelation 3.
You're lost and you hope to pass through that door somehow. You don't even know where the door is.
In verse 20 of Revelation 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. That's the operative. So you sup with him because you are then sustained and satisfied by the same things he is sustained and satisfied by. And he is satisfied by the same things that the Father is sustained and satisfied by. But whenever you are in a position of poor, you come to the end of yourself, there he is. Doesn't matter. It's happened to me probably hundreds of times, maybe thousands, before I finally, I cried out to him.
Yeah.
We are wearied in the greatness of our way. I was wearied in the greatness of my way all the time, especially when I was a little kid. Let me just talk a minute. I want to do this on for this thing for the people in the audience. I mean, for the people that listen to talk about the offerings. And so, as we go through the other offerings on Sundays, I'm going to, at least on Mondays, well, maybe Tuesdays, I'm going to go through whatever we begin to talk about on the big group. Is that okay with everybody?
So you're saying you're going to do last week today?
What?
Harry's already misunderstood it. Sounds good to me.
Sunday on Monday.
All right. Let me just give a sweet savor offerings.
Well, you know what? I want to say something before we go on. The thing about sweet savor offerings is like you're not kicked out if you don't go make them.
No, they're all voluntary.
They're all voluntary. So it's like at the door, it's like you want to go in. If you don't want to go in, you don't go in. You know,
yeah.
But it's not one of the, you know, the sin offering was like, you know.
You got to do the sin offering.
Out or something.
The trespass you know. Offering, would you're outside the camp.
Yeah.
And that's the point of you're seeking, you're trying to be apprehended by, which opens you up and makes the apprehension.
All right, the sweet savor offerings, as we talked about, are not just the sweet savor, they're the food of God. That's what it talks about many places. They're all for acceptance, meal, peace, and burnt offering. They were all offered on the brazen altar in the court of the tabernacle. Sin or trespass isn't seen or even thought of. The offer came for acceptance as a worshiper of God, voluntarily. The offering was always without blemish. And the offerer appears as a man in perfection and innocency. His offering stands the trial of fire, of God's searching holiness. And the offering is accepted as sweet, fragrant savor ascending to God. Now, the only reason that all this is a sweet savor is because it's in His perfect will. Everything that we think about to do is not in His perfect will. It doesn't matter if we think we're going to think the same thing as He's thinking. We got some great idea about God stuff. Doesn't make any difference unless it's in alliance with the offerings. That's why search the scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. All right. Now, with the sin and trespass offering, it's not a sweet savor. Where is required, it wasn't voluntary, as the expiation for sin and for trespass, not consumed on the altar, burned outside the camp. After the blood, they first sprinkled the blood for atonement. The offering is charged with the sin and trespass of the offer. They had to lay hands to make sure that that was understood. The offerer comes as a sinner to pay the penalty of sin and trespass. But the offering still had to be without blemish. And he has to see that what's happening to that animal is him. This is where the patriarch saw Christ in the offerings. And when they saw his day and were glad, whether it was all the way back to Abel or Abraham and Isaac and all the rest of them, they saw him in the offerings. Well, I thought we were going to get somewhere. We just didn't even get started yet. It's Tom's fault.
Yeah, it's the celebration of that acceptance.
Amen.
You know, it's like, if you're not into that, you'll never understand it anyway. It's just like, this is one of those things you can't browbeat anybody into seeing. You know, it's like, you just got to be.
When you're tired of everything else, then this is what true joy is. But it can happen if you're still got investments in the world. If any man love the world, gives breath, gives importance, the love of the Father is not in him. Anybody have anything else?
I just seen the picture of, you know, somebody going in, you know, taking a valuable sheep or something that, you know, was of value to you, going all the way up to the temple to offer this thing, and, you know, I can see somebody else going like, oh, you know, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
You don't really have to, you know. You're just,
no,
you know, as long as you do the sin offering, you know, we're all okay. You know, unless you have something better to do, and you know, you could probably spend that money on something else. You know, it's like taking everything about you and going up and going into the temple to do that was, you know, it was like a joy. And that's what's represented in apprehending or being apprehended by this understanding. That's what it's all about.
Amen. All right, take a big breath. We,